podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. This is God's Mission Here.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Deaconess Tiffany Manor. Today, we're going to be talking about God's mission in some places that are in communities just like yours. I'm joined by one of my coworkers, Pastor Heath Curtis. Welcome, Pastor. Please introduce yourself. Tell the listeners a little bit about you, your family, your vocations that God's given you.
You bet. So for the past almost 19 years now, which seems crazy, I've been the pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. And my wife, Rebecca, and I, blessed with a big family, 8 kids. We're currently in the preschooler to senior in college phase of our life. So somebody everywhere. So that's exciting. And then for the past 11 years, I've done this work in stewardship for the Synod and now within the Office of National Mission. So with that, I get around the Synod and help pastors and lay leaders learn about what the Bible teaches about stewardship and really learn how to effectively teach that within the congregation for the blessing of the ministry of the church.
Such a blessing that you're a parish pastor. So you're living out that vocation, you know, a husband, a father. And then, you know, as you interact with people around the Synod, you're walking what you're talking to them about and what you're teaching them.
Yeah. And that was intentional, the way all this came together all those years ago now. You know, we just have to be frank. I just had a workshop last night. I did a workshop here in the Southern Illinois district where I live. We had pastors and lay leaders together. And I usually play a little game, a word association game at these workshops. And I warmed them up with a couple funny tries, like what do people think about the St. Louis Cardinals and Cardinals Nation this year? Is not too positive, not a lot of positive responses. But then we move on to a word association with the word stewardship. And for both pastors and laity, we get words like, I mean, we get some positive things, you know, like service or time. Then we get some kind of maybe neutral words like money. And then the real truth starts to come out once they get warmed up. Mm-hmm. Fear, nervous, scarcity, words like those. And what's always really interesting to me is that the pastors and the laity both seem a little surprised that the other one came up with the same negative words. It's a little revealing to get pastors and laity together talking about this topic. So it can be an uncomfortable topic, can be a difficult topic. And so I do think it's important and certainly helps me build that rapport when we're out there teaching that actually, yeah, I'm doing this too. You know, I serve a congregation full of real people who have brought in the past that same kind of baggage or negativity perhaps about this. And I understand that it can be difficult to do careful teaching in that environment, but what else are we going to do? Anytime we have a problem or a difficulty in the church, our answer had better be from the scriptures. Our answer had better be teaching the word of God toward that issue. So that's a big part of what I'm doing when I'm out there teaching is, you know, it's the story of one pastor and his congregation to others. It invites a dialogue to really learn what the scriptures teach.
Well, you mentioned story. So yeah. I have a suspicion that you may have a story, stewardship story. So how did you get into this line of work that, you know, you're doing in addition to the preaching and teaching in your local congregation?
Yeah, definitely not what I thought my service to the wider church would be. So, you know, going all the way back to my time at Concordia in Seward and then in the seminary. I mean, I am very much by nature, you know, a book nerd. Love the languages. Really thought that if I was going to have, you know, further service in the church beyond the service within a parish, I really thought it would be something more academic. And I have done some of that. I have done some teaching in the classical languages. I've done some translating for Luther's works. But that's kind of my bailiwick. I enjoy studying. I enjoy all the things that pastors who love theology and love the Bible and love the history of the Lutheran Church. I love all those things. I also love people. I love the idea of being a pastor, but stewardship, not on my radar. I think, well, I know coming out of the seminary now 20 years ago, I definitely thought of stewardship as, well, that'll probably be fine, right? I'll try my very best to be a good pastor. The people will be basically happy with their church, and a good tree bears good fruit, right? So we should be fine. So in December of 2005, I was called and installed down in Warden and Carpenter. And in April 2006, I got a phone call in my office, and it was from the president of a local bank. And I thought, well, it's another guy who wants to take the new preacher out to lunch. I'm already kind of planning, you know, what restaurant have I seen driving around that I haven't gone to yet? So I'm thinking about all that in my head. And then instead of saying, hey, Pastor Curtis, you know, just want to meet you and get to know you, instead he says, I just got off the phone with your head trustee, and he asked me to give you a call because, you know, you're new around here, and you're not only a new pastor, you're a young pastor, and he just didn't feel comfortable explaining the ins and outs of the fact that, you know, we here at the bank, we're canceling Trinity's line of credit.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I said, we have a line of credit? And he said, no, that's why I'm calling you. You no longer have a line of credit. And so that's how I got into stewardship. It was absolutely a baptism by fire, just jumping in with both feet and really through the lens of financial crisis. And what I've learned now in helping other pastors and congregations over this past decade plus is it's very often a financial squeeze, if not a crisis, a financial squeeze that finally gets everybody to say, all right, well, we have to overcome whatever our negative feelings are, our negative biases about teaching this aspect of the scriptures very clearly, because, you know, we can't ignore it anymore. So that was obviously a very difficult time in my ministry. Again, we'd only been there 4 months, but my wife and I had, you know, immediately felt that this is a church that really seems to like us. We definitely like them. And in any case, you're only there 4 months. Even if I wanted to run away, how do you run away? So I got great advice and help from other brothers and fathers in the ministry, more experienced men who kind of been through this before. Great support from my congregation. And, you know, a year and a half, you know, let's say 18 to 24 months after that initial phone call where the bank said, we're not going to help you live in a financially upside down way anymore. We came out on the other end, a much stronger congregation. And we have had difficulties since. So let's say this is, you know, we kind of did our first year and a half of, you know, really, you know, let's really understand what the scriptures say about this. Let's change the culture of our congregation. And so that's a long process to take your congregation from, well, from what? Well, try this on for size. Does this sound familiar? No, I don't want to put your poor husband. Don't answer this question.
I'm married to a pastor, yeah, so that could be dangerous.
I was going to say, does this sound like your churches you've been at? Don't answer that. But for the listeners, does this sound like your budget process? At some point toward the end of your budget year, between 1 and 5 people sit down with last year's budget and they go line by line and they say, well, should this line item go up a little next year, down a little, or stay about the same? And then that budget goes to a voters meeting where presumably there's some kind of devotion or prayer at the beginning of the meeting. And then the budget's voted in. You hope the money comes in over the course of the year. And when it kind of doesn't in July or August, there might be a little panic. You hope, you know, you put in bulletin announcements as you get closer to Thanksgiving, and you just never really know. And everything is, and in that whole process, where's the word of God? Mm-hmm. Right? The closest we came was a prayer at the voters meeting. Mm-hmm. And that was certainly, I think, what I grew up with. It certainly, that was our congregation story for, you know, the umpteen years before I got there, and was certainly my plan until I was confronted with this difficulty. And in the nexus and in the current culture and in our current context that we're serving at in America, maybe we've been getting by with that, but boy, I think it's only going to get harder. It's no secret that there are difficulties and headwinds against Christianity in modern American culture. It's no secret that prices only seem to go up. It's no secret that taking care of employees faithfully, those expenses only seem to go up. So congregations that are in a position where they're living that model of, we're just going to plan last year, we're just going to try to keep everything about the same and hope it, and hope something different happens. You know, my plea to them is, I think there's a better way. And that better way, the one stewardship plan, is pretty simple. And I've never found anybody, you know, at any of the presentations I've done on this, I've never had anybody argue with it after they hear it. It's simply teach, ask, and plan accordingly. We need to teach what the Bible says. We need to ask the people of God, please do what the Bible says. And then we plan to live according to our means. And like a lot of things in life, it's simple but difficult, right? Some things are complicated and difficult. Some things are easy and complicated. This is one of those things that seems to be, you know, a lot of things in life, simple but difficult. It's difficult because of the baggage we bring. It's difficult because maybe pastor doesn't feel like he's equipped to do this. Maybe the people have, you know, bad taste in their mouth about something that's happened before. But it is simple and straightforward. Whenever there's a problem in the church, that problem has to be solved via the scriptures. We need to bring the scriptures to bear on any problem we have. So if we have a problem with budgeting, if we have a problem with finances, if we feel like we're not getting the ministry accomplished that we know we should be getting accomplished, we need to bring the Word of God to bear on that. So all that being said, as my congregation, as we went through that process of learning, how do I as the pastor teach that? How do I equip lay leaders to help and support me in the teaching of that? How do we ask people to do this and how do we plan accordingly? I just simply wrote down what we did, really as a help to my brothers in ministry, because again, I had felt like I was so unprepared to handle that. And so once it was accomplished, I wrote that down as a little monograph, and that's what caught the interest of the Office of National Mission. And then, so I was asked to come on board and help out with this, help other pastors and congregations do the same thing. So if you go to our website today, lcms.org/stewardship, at the top of that page, the first section of resources are our Square One resources. And one of the first things you'll see is Stewardship Under the Cross. So that's a little booklet. It's not long enough to be called a book. It's a booklet that just narrates what happened in a real LCMS congregation. And it just so happens that the congregation I serve is amazingly average in things like size. And we just fit right in the middle of the LCMS's normal distribution of, you know, income and size and worship attendance and so forth. So I think it does have a lot to say to just about any LCMS congregation. And when I go out and do a workshop, the homework that I assign, so if you're listening to this today and are thinking, well, how might I get started? The homework that I assign is for whatever the tightest group of leadership is in your congregation. In most of our congregations, that's going to be pastor and elders. Mm-hmm. And some of our congregations, if it's a larger congregation, that might be the pastoral leadership team or the professional staff team. But whatever your tightest level of leadership is simply read the narrative portion of that book together. And it's very short. If you have a group of elders, they're like my group of elders. I don't have a reading group of elders. We don't often assign books and read them. If we're going to do that, we read it together in our meetings. Well, the first part of Stewardship Under the Cross is very short, 24 pages. Narrative goes very quickly, and it's just our story in Warden about how things, the problem that we are facing, and kind of how the solution came together. And again, the solution is just teaching the Word of God and asking the people to do it, but it's a tricky topic, and it's something that we do bring baggage and bias to. So in that case, it always pays for pastors and boards of elders to think about communicating this wisely and taking the time and especially investing the effort to make a good plan for what these, you know, 9 to 12 months of teaching. You know, it's not something that, you know, you're not, if you're going to be wise in how you deal with your congregation and you're a pastor, you're never going to try to do anything too quickly. Mm-hmm. Simply because, you know, let's say, you know, I want to teach this. Well, I mean, how long can it take? I mean, I can cover all the scriptures about stewardship. I could do it in 3 weeks. Well, but who wasn't there in those 3 weeks? You know, who was out of town? Who missed just one out of those 3 weeks if you're trying to make a big plan? And also, it just takes people time to absorb. You know, you need to hear something. It needs to sit with you. So, and again, any pastor of experience knows exactly what I'm talking about. When you've got something big that needs to change in church, or you've got a big topic that maybe has been, you know, not covered as well as it should have been in the past, you need to take an appropriate amount of time to cover it, and especially in a natural way. And for us as Lutherans, that means that, you know, the teaching that happens from the pulpit is happening in accordance with our lectionary. And that's such a better way to do it. And so the book talks all about this. And then there's a planning guide to go with it. So two parts to the homework. The one is, you know, pastor and lay leaders or pastor and elders, or if it's a larger church, you know, professional staff, leadership team, read that narrative together. Hear the story of one other congregation and pastor and how we walk through this. And then there's a planning guide. And that's for the pastor to sit down, and this planning guide is going to help you plan that 9 to 12 months of teaching. It's not stewardship in a box. It's not, you know, do this worksheet on this day, do this Bible study, preach this sermon outline, because we've got a lot of those, and if you like to use those, we have no shortage of those out in the wider world, in the Lutheran world. But I've found the reluctance why so many of our congregations still don't do anything with stewardship is not because of a lack of those kind of resources. It's actually a lack of pastors being encouraged that they can teach this in a way that's authentically Lutheran, authentically biblical, natural, gospel-centered, not legalistic. And so if you read through Stewardship Under the Cross, you're going to find that theological thread drawn out, and I'll just tease this to tell you what you're going to find in there. When I'm talking with a group of pastors, you know, we'll do that word association. Here's all the negative things we associate with congregational stewardship. But then I'll ask, but I bet you know some Bible verses about stewardship, right? And we start to list those mm-hmm. on the board. And it's very interesting. Very often, in fact, almost always, a group of pastors, they don't come up with what I think are the two most important verses. And it's Galatians 6, you know, the one who receives the teaching must share all good things with the teacher. And the 1 Corinthians 9:14, the Lord has ordained that those who preach the gospel should make their living from the gospel. And it's those two stewardship verses, they're actually in the small catechism. It's in the table of duties. And so we get to have a little talk with, you know, as pastors about, When I'm asking you to jump into stewardship and teach this, all I'm asking you to do is teach about the doctrine of vocation. Teach about the doctrine. So that's where the doctrine of stewardship fits. It's part of my vocation as a Christian. I'm asking you to teach the table of duties. And so then I think that's been very eye-opening. It was certainly eye-opening for me to see, oh, I'm not a fish out of water. I don't have to have all these negative connotations about this topic. I'm just teaching the table of duties. I know how to do that. I'm just teaching sanctification. I'm fully equipped to do that work. And then once you begin to see that, you can teach the people in an effective way. So that's my teaser intro to encourage people to jump into that homework. And then in the next three episodes here in this podcast, I'm going to talk with three different pastors. I'm going to ask them questions about their experience, and I'm very much looking forward to it. I know all these guys very well. One is kind of a content expert, also in stewardship. One is, not that he's not a content expert, but he's another pastor out there in the world who, very good pastor, very faithful in stewardship. And one is going to be Pastor Anonymous, because he and his congregation are still not quite sure they got this figured out. So I'm looking forward to completing this little mini season and taking this. And so hopefully if you're listening to this first one, maybe even do that homework before you grab the second and third and fourth episodes and kind of walk with these guys. And I really think you'll be blessed, because how could you not be blessed? We're talking about teaching what the Bible says to our people, and in boldness and confidence asking them, I bet this is a better way to live. Let's do what the scriptures say. And then, man, planning for a church life like that is a lot more fun than, you know, what we would have called living paycheck to paycheck, teetering on the edge of the red, deferred maintenance, not sure we can pay our employees. There's a better way to live, and it starts with teaching the scriptures.
I think these are going to be some great conversation for listeners to get to hear and think about their own congregations, and how is it that stewardship is not something separated from the gospel. It's not some, I don't know, some certain program that occurs a certain time of the year, but living out their faith in God's word.
Yeah, it's
infused.
It's finding. So if we're going to diagnose the problem of why we have these negative biases and viewpoints on it, I think the diagnosis is because we don't know where it fits in our spiritual life, because we don't know where it fits in the theological task of the pastor, the spiritual life of the people. And once we locate it there within vocation, sanctification, it's right there in the table of duties, then this becomes part of something that we already recognize as something that's very positive, full of joy, full of purpose and meaning. So, and again, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's going to be sacrificial, but I'm going to know what I'm sacrificing for, and it's going to be another aspect of the purpose-filled, gospel-driven Christian life that we live as faithful Lutherans.
That is such a joyful way of thinking about stewardship. So thanks so much for sharing your experiences, what you have been talking about with other congregations throughout the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for 11 years now, and given a preview of what's to come on the future podcast episodes. And it's really fascinating to think about, you know, God's mission here in the United States in communities all around our country, and how, you know, stewardship is such an important part of God's mission locally, not out there somewhere across the globe, but how we care for people within our congregations, our communities, and this important work of a local congregation. I mean, there's nothing, in my estimation, more important than the work of a local congregation in sharing the gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, your mission is where you live. And imagine what mission work where you live, the work in reaching out to your community, the work in serving your own members and building up disciples from baptism until they go off to glory. Imagine how much freer and joyful that would be if you weren't arguing about money. Right? And so notice I didn't say, right, if you had infinite dollars. I'm not promising anybody infinite dollars. But, well, I will say this. The number one noticeable thing that changed in our parish's life, or in our life together as a congregation, when we went from that model of, I'm struggling to meet the budget, the budget's just what it was last year, we hope it comes in, it never really does, we're just, you know, struggle. When we went to, okay, we're going to teach the Bible, we're going to ask people to do it, we're going to plan accordingly, and we just became a congregation with a culture of, we live in the black. We tell the people what the Bible says, and then we live from that generosity. The number one noticeable external thing that happened was our voters' meetings got really short and really poorly attended. what is there to talk about? So my voters' meetings, we have six a year. The normal time for our voters' meeting is 29 minutes. I live in the backyard. I'm home a half an hour later. Unless there's actually a real new piece of business. Otherwise, it's receive reports, thank you very much, any questions. And that is, man, you want to talk about freeing up joy and energy and direction. Money in a church is very much like money in a marriage. Everybody's got conflicts. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got difficulties. If you add to that and we're upside down financially, we're struggling financially, it just turns the thermostat up on every argument. And it's the same in a church. And every church has its conflicts, difficulties. But if you're just fine financially, just we're living in the black, it just turns down the temperature, lets you make good decisions about your future, lets you strike out into the mission that God has given you in your local area with so much more confidence and peace. So it's worth the hard work. It's simple, but it's hard, but it's really worth it.
And that really enables the gospel of the kingdom of God to be advanced.
Yes.
When the hard work has been undertaken.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, thank you, Pastor Curtis, for joining me today on the podcast. We look forward to meeting your guests in the next few episodes. Thanks to the listeners for joining God's mission here. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss out on Pastor Curtis's episodes coming up. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation and how he delivers those gifts right where you live and serve.
Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation and how he delivers those gifts where you live and serve.